Executives are beginning to close the gap between goal setting and actually taking meaningful actions around sustainability. But still, many struggle to make processes more sustainable across the supply chain. They lack the visibility, not only within their own supply chain, but in their suppliers' supply chain. And finally, they see an opportunity for technology to be a great help in addressing several of these issues.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP. And with me on the show today, I have my special guest, Richard. Richard, welcome back. For people who don't know you, would you like to introduce yourself?
Thanks, Tom. Great to be back. My name's Richard Howells, and I focus a lot on thought leadership and awareness around our digital supply chain solutions.
Okay. And we're today, Friday, the 30th of April, 2020. We are announcing a new white paper. Do you want to tell me a little bit about it, Richard?
Sure. We worked with Oxford Economics on a research project with 1,000 different supply chain executives across the globe. So it had an equal span of respondents across regions and across many different industries, all around the concept of sustainable supply chains. And it has the fancy title of The Sustainable Supply Chain Paradox, Balancing the Bottom Line with the Green Line. Because when we're talking about sustainability, at the moment, at least, it appears like it's all about balancing and trade-offs, but balancing profitability versus sustainability. And I believe that we shouldn't have to do that in the medium to long term, because a sustainable supply chain should be a profitable supply chain and vice versa.
Yeah, because I remember having this conversation a couple of times on this podcast with people, and my assertion is that because one of the key things that sustainability does is it gets rid of waste, sustainable products should be cheaper and sustainable supply chains should be more profitable.
You're absolutely right. I mean, if your goal is to reduce carbon emissions in logistics, for example, which means you reduce the number of miles you drive, you should be saving money. Or using recycled material or byproducts and co-products or end-of-life products back into the process. Again, you should it's reducing the amount of raw materials you should be requiring.
Correct.
As long as you design those products to take advantage of those byproducts, co-products and repurposed products.
Superb, superb. And can you tell me some of the key findings of this white paper?
Sure. Well, first of all, I mean, when we talk about sustainability, I mean, sustainability has been a major focus for several years. It took a backseat during the pandemic, but it's front and center now in companies' purposes, goals, and mission and missions. And what we found, the key findings, and there were four key findings that's in the executive overview of the research, is that executives are beginning to close the gap between goal setting and actually taking meaningful actions around sustainability. But still, many struggle to make processes more sustainable across the supply chain. They lack the visibility, not only within their own supply chain, but in their suppliers' supply chain. And finally, they see an opportunity for technology to be a great help in addressing several of these issues.
Okay. So basically, the will is there, but possibly the means not so much.
That's exactly right. Everyone's set. If you go to somebody's corporate website and you look for the company's purpose, it usually involves sustainability. It could be reducing carbon emissions. It could be being a key player in the circular economy. But sustainability is always top of mind. But having the tools and processes in place is obviously a challenge.
Yeah. As you know, I run this other podcast, the Climate 21 podcast. And just a couple of weeks ago, I had David Harris on. And David is the head of sustainable business for the London Stock Exchange. And he was explaining how investors are increasingly looking at the ESG reporting of companies and using that, basing their investment decisions on that. And then he was explaining how the reporting from companies is a lot more important than companies might actually realize, because it is being analyzed by the investment community, and therefore companies' access to capital and the cost of that capital can very often be based on their sustainability reporting. And so suddenly this means that these requirements and the desire to become sustainable is not just for, you know, trying to attract employees and retain employees, trying to attract and keep customers, but also now trying to attract investment into the company and trying to keep the share price of the company at a particular level. So I can see why it's become important, and therefore the tools that apparently are not there or are not being found by these 1,000 sustainability, or sorry, these 1,000 supply chain executives, you know, they're not being found, or they're not there, or there's some lack there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't have said it better. I mean, it's all around having good practices in place to keep customers, employees, and shareholders happy.
Yeah. And
government regulations and industry regulatory bodies.
Yeah, I was going to say, are there other things driving sustainability initiatives? But yeah, it's go on.
Well, we asked what are the top drivers for driving sustainability, and 43% put product and service innovation into their top three, and they were closely followed by the fact that of customer demand. So we as consumers are demanding sustainability, and that 41% put that in their top three. And then the third one, again not far behind, again was the increased industry and governmental regulations.
Right. Good. So the awareness of that is increasing as well. That's interesting. So it is. It's essentially what we said. And what were the key findings and benefits then coming from this?
Well, if you think about it, it's all about. I do a little bit of reading on this topic, and there was a guy called John Elkington in 1994 who talked about the triple bottom line.
Yeah.
Of managing the profit, the people, and the planet. Mm-hmm. The profit would be the traditional economic measure of corporate profit. The people is all around social responsibility and how you treat or your business is run. And planet was all around the environmental aspects of how you were treating the planet as part of your sustainability initiatives. So the reality is that was written 25 years ago.
Yep.
And since then, the world's population has increased. We're seeing climate change. There's been environmental pollution. We're seeing a growth in the population, but a reduction in the availability of natural resources. So those three P's have become critical. I mean, the people and planet have put sustainability front and center. And to your previous point, if you think about the third P, profit, I mean, you've got to be sustainable as a business and viable as a business, you have to make a profit. So all three P's are now as valuable or more valuable than ever. And as a result, at SAP, we're focusing on three different areas around climate action. So embedding businesses or enabling businesses to innovate and grow through efficient emissions management or compliance regulations. The circular economy of working with companies to work out how to leverage those byproducts and co-products and consider end of life of products in the design process. And finally, equality for all, to make sure that everyone is fairly treated, fairly paid, and without discrimination, and compensated equitably.
Very good. How do we, within SAP, how do we define sustainable supply chains?
We really talk about those three things. It's around the environmental, the social, and the economics. So we're talking about supply chains from design to operate, all the way. So we're considering supply chains all the way through the life cycle of a product, all the way through the life cycle of the things that we manufacture, the things that our customers manufacture, that they sell and that they deliver to their customers. So it really is, and it all starts with designing sustainable products. Designing products that are biodegradable, that can be reused at the end of their life. Minimizing the packaging material that goes into those products, for example. And then all the way through the life of that product, from manufacturing that product with minimal emissions to delivering that product, leveraging sustainable transportation and having planning processes in place to minimize the amount of miles driven to a point we talked about earlier, but also how they operate once they're at a customer's location, how they perform, and then ultimately, at the end of life, how they're recycled or reprocessed or repurposed.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think that last bit is hugely important and possibly not considered well enough in the initial design of products, that recycling and reuse. I had the architect and designer Bill McDonough on the Climate 21 podcast this week, and he's the author of the book Cradle to Cradle, and you know, that's very much what he's talking about. He's kind of like the father of the circular economy, and this idea of designing goods so that they, at their the end of their what he calls their useful period, not end of life, but the end of their useful period, can then be taken and become, as he puts it, food for something else, so exactly. That they become part of a new useful period for some other device.
I mean, I'm seeing adverts on the TV at the moment in the US where we're about plastic bottles, mm-hmm. and all of the drinks manufacturers are on the same advert, which you would never see. You'd never see Coca-Cola and Pepsi on the same advert talking about designing recyclable bottles that get fed back into the manufacturing process to generate pellets to make recyclable bottles. And it just shows that when companies who are direct competitors with each other are getting on the same platform, that it's a serious topic.
Yeah, and the issue of plastics has gotten a lot of attention lately, particularly the plastics entering the sea and its effect on marine life. It's a huge, yes, huge
indeed.
Problem.
Yes, indeed. And I think everyone, as individuals, we can do things about it, but certainly as companies and businesses, we can.
Yeah, even more so. So we've seen that the 1,000 executives that we talked to for this, have the will. We've seen that they don't so much have the way. What are some of the challenges that are facing them?
We'll be right back.
Elevate your brand with the Sustainable Supply Chain Podcast, the exclusive voice in supply chain sustainability. Last year, this podcast's episode were downloaded 113,000 times by senior executives across the world, with listeners concentrated in the EU, North America, and Asia. Become a sponsor. Lead the conversation. Contact me for sponsorship opportunities and turn downloads into dialogues. Act today. Influence the future.
Some of the statistics that we found, that it showed that they have sustainability as a goal, as we said earlier, but they haven't taken the concrete steps to realize them. And just to throw out some of the numbers, mm-hmm. 65% have stated that they have a clear purpose around sustainability. And the further 23% said that they were going to have a purpose within the next, a company-wide purpose in the next 3 years. That's 88% in total. But if you look at some of the numbers of how they're getting there, they're a long way from meeting those goals. For example, only half today can say that they've reduced their overall shipping miles. And that's a clear example of how to be more sustainable in logistics processes. Mm. And then over two-thirds said that they would reduce the amount of business they would do with a supplier if it showed that they had unsustainable practices or unethical practices. Yet they don't have the information to make that decision.
Right.
Only a very small percentage have the visibility into their multi-tiered supply chain processes. And it's not just one tier down the supply chain. The numbers are bad enough one tier down, but if you go another tier again, it's almost minuscule. So for example, you could be a clothing manufacturer who subcontracted to a third party. But if they've subcontracted yet again to somebody else, you don't have that visibility, or most companies don't have the visibility to see how their practices are working. And the reality is, if an issue is raised about a product that you sell, it's your brand that gets damaged, your reputation that gets damaged, your share price that gets damaged, not the company two or three tiers down the supply chain who actually made that product for you.
Yeah. And how do we fix that?
Visibility. I mean, I've been on this podcast a few times, and the answer is usually visibility. It's having more information at the right time to make the decisions. Having visibility of your suppliers and your suppliers. Having visibility of your contract manufacturers. Having visibility of your logistics processes so that you can track the miles that have been driven, whether it's you or a third-party logistics provider doing it. So it then ties into the business network, having a business network where you can collaborate and share information across that network to drive sustainability and enforce sustainability initiatives where appropriate.
Then the hard question becomes, how do you get that visibility?
It really is down to technology. I mean, having the tools in place to capture that information. You then start talking about things like the Internet of Things and capturing real-time information from devices or trucks. Having the visibility of sharing and collaborating through the network information about how the manufacturing is going in a particular site, which suppliers that your manufacturers are using, and ultimately which suppliers they're using, and sharing that information and collaborating, because it's I would say sustainability is a team sport when it becomes when you're talking across your business network, because every step has to be sustainable.
Yeah.
And proven to be sustainable.
Yeah. And I mean, if you are part of a business network, then this information sharing becomes easier. But I mean, there's been talk about business networks for a long time, and you know, to a large extent, they haven't taken off as much as their potential would say they should have done.
And I would say the part of that problem is that there isn't a problem with having a network. There's lots of networks. That's the problem. Mm. You may have a network for your logistics processes. You might have a network for your supplier collaboration. You might have a different network to do with contract manufacturers. And then, but being able to pull all that data together into one unified network is the nirvana. It's the goal that we at SAP are striving towards with our business network strategy, and thus having the information in one central place where you can share, collaborate and improve.
Okay. So Richard, you mentioned the whole concept of design to operate earlier. How, you know, are there specific aspects of that are, you know, capable of helping here?
Sure. I mean, when we talk about sustainability and sustainable supply chains, we're talking about everything from raw material sourcing to last mile to logistics, and even to the product usage, returns and recycling processes. So if I walk through the different steps in the process, when we're talking about the design step, the R&D, I think we said a little earlier, you have to make sure that the products that you're designing and the packaging that you're using is biodegradable and environmentally sustainable. And you can do that, and having the ability to capture that information and know that information during the design process, to calculate the environmental costs of products through their life cycle, or simulating the manufacturing impact on the environment of this product if we were going to manufacture it. And always listening to the customer, the voice of the customer, to get to take into account their feedback and what their sustainability drivers are. We talk about planning processes, because we're always trying to reduce emissions and ethically satisfy and source materials. And you can build that into your planning logic. You can improve demand accuracy to reduce inventory obsolescence, so that if your demand is correct, you're not making products and inventory that isn't required and thus going to waste. You can, in the planning process, you can predict end-of-life scenarios to support that circular economy, and have simulation capabilities to determine the amount of CO2 you would generate to manufacture this quantity and to distribute this quantity to the locations that are required. So having a CO2 footprint of the plan through procurement, production and transportation. And then always being able to report your actual usage, your actual production, your actual transportation versus your planned to see how you performed against that plan. When you manufacture, I mean, you're always trying to do that with minimal waste and reduce the impact on the environment. So being able to capture and monitor energy usage as a function of your production volumes, or measuring the CO2 emissions to ensure that you satisfy those compliance commitments, and also ensuring the safety of your manufacturing workforce throughout the production process. Logistics, we mentioned this a little earlier, but it's all about reducing the CO2 emissions and looking at different ways of transportation or types of transportation, maybe electric vehicles in inner cities or for last mile delivery tasks, and leveraging planning logic within logistics so that when you do have a long trip, you at least optimize that trip. You optimize the route to minimize the miles and thus reduce the carbon footprint. And you make sure that the truck is loaded efficiently and effectively so that you can maximize that space to make the most of it during those miles. And finally, in the operations phase, making sure that the products that you manufacture, the products you use, are energy efficient and they're safe for the environment and the workforce. That you can perform a maintenance to extend the life of an asset to maximize its usefulness and extend its usefulness. And again, at all times, ensuring the safety of that equipment, the safety of that asset, and the safety of the people using that asset. So all the way across the supply chain, from design through to decommission, you're taking into account sustainability. Sustainability can't be an afterthought. It's got to be part of those processes.
Very good. Very good. Coming towards the end of the podcast now, if we scroll kind of to the end of the report, what were the major recommendations that the report laid out for people?
The report, as I said, it spoke to thousands of people and it came out with the following findings. First of all, you need to create your long-term strategy for sustainability to drive sustainable change over time. You need to have plans in place to ethically source materials, to have manufacturing processes that minimize that waste and having the tools in place to do that, and then optimize the delivery process of making sure that, as I said a little earlier, reduce the miles and reduce the carbon footprint. But it's really determining where within those processes you can see the low-hanging fruit. What we've seen, the survey showed that that planning and design had made the most progress in sustainability initiatives, that manufacturing is where where the biggest benefit is seen, both benefit that has happened, but also future benefit, that logistics is where the low-hanging fruit is, because that's where you can actually tangibly say, if I reduce the number of miles, I reduce the carbon footprint. If I use better forms of power in vehicles, then I reduce the carbon footprint. And the operation step is key from a circular economy perspective, as well as in the design phase, because you've got to be able to reuse that material or product or recycle it or repurpose it at the end of life rather than it being in a landfill for 400 years.
So, Richard, winding up now, is there any question I've not asked you that you kind of wish I had, or any topic that we've not addressed that you think it's important for people to think about?
Well, the one thing that I would mention is in the last 2 days, we had our first ever SAP Sustainability Summit, and you can still access the replays of those sessions online, and I'm sure we can share the link with people.
Yep.
And at Sapphire in June, we will have a whole track dedicated to sustainable supply chains. And I know that you and I are both on that agenda. Uh-huh. So I would encourage people to go and learn more at Sapphire.
Very good. Very good. And if people want to know more about yourself or this report or any of the topics we talked about today, Richard, where would you have me direct them?
Okay, so my LinkedIn page is a good place to go. I have a Twitter handle, Howells at Howells Richard. And if you search for Richard Howells Forbes, you'll actually find some articles being published in the next few days around this report and sustainability in general and supply chains in general that I've written.
Okay, and we have a link to this report as well?
Absolutely, yes. I can provide the link for your viewers or listeners or that you can post.
Super. I'll include that in the show notes as well. Great, Richard. That's been fantastic. Thanks a million for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you, Tom. It's my pleasure, as ever.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.